Because I want you all to agree with me that our ears and hearts will be open to receive this message. Lord, I believe this is a word for the church, Lord. I pray that we would hear what the Holy Spirit is saying to the church, God. I thank you for your glory being revealed in this truth, Lord. And I pray that there would be results for all eternity, that lives will be changed, God, through this message. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm speaking to you this morning about trusting God's faithfulness in all the seasons of life. Say it again. Trusting God's faithfulness in all the seasons of life. There are great seasons. There are exciting seasons. There are optimistic seasons. There are seasons where the sun is shining and the trees are all green and the air is fresh and everything just seems to be going so great. There are other times in our life where it just seems like we can't catch a break. When, you know, you just get one bit of bad news after another, after another, after another, and you're tempted to look up and say, God, enough already. Maybe you've done that. You don't have to raise your hand, but maybe you've done that. But I believe, and I can speak with confidence this morning, that by God's grace, I believe for you and your family and for this church that 2020 will be a groundbreaking year for you and your family and for this church. I believe with all my heart. Why? Not because my circumstances are easy, but I believe it because God is so good. Hallelujah. Somebody wrote a sermon called Life is Hard, but God is Good. Life can be very hard, but God is very good. God is greater than any problem I have. God is for us. He's not against us. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
David said, I would have given up. The psalmist David, I would have fainted. I would have given up in Psalm 27 unless I had believed to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Hallelujah. I don't know what you've been through this week or maybe the last several months, but do you still believe you will see the goodness of God in the land of the living? I am. I am believing that with all my heart. I can say with confidence that by God's grace, I can be and do all that God desires for me in 2020. I'm kind of feeling like this is a good slogan for our church for 2020. And I want you to think about the words. I can be, by God's grace, I can be and I can do all that God desires, all that He has planned for us, for me and my family, will be accomplished by the grace of God in 2020. I declare it this morning by faith. I believe it because God is so good. Hallelujah. I'm not saying it because, I won the lottery or I'm lucky or anything like that. I'm saying it because for years and years and years, I've seen the track record of God that He's a good God. Hallelujah. He's a good, good Father. We have had our share of trials and tribulations. But in 50 or more years of following Him, and I can tell you, I can recommend Jesus to you this morning with all my heart. He's a good God. One of the greatest attributes of God is His faithfulness. This one particular aspect of God's personality, believe it or not, God speaks or refers to Himself more by this particular attribute than any of His other attributes. In other words, when God talks about Himself, He doesn't say, I am the powerful God. He may say that once in a while. I am the righteous God. He'll say that. I am the holy God. He'll say that. But the thing he says the most about Himself in the scripture is, I am a faithful God. That's interesting. Why, when God describes Himself, does He use this particular attribute more than any of the other attributes? He's eternal. He's omniscient. He's omnipotent. He's all of these things. But He says about Himself, I am the faithful God. Turn with me to Psalm 89 for a moment. Psalm 89. We're going to read several verses. Verse 1, 2, 5, and 8. Psalm 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make known your faithfulness through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. Then verse 5, the heavens praise your wonders, O Lord, your faithfulness too in the assembly of the holy ones. Then jump down to verse 8. O Lord God Almighty, who is like you? You are mighty, O Lord, and your faithfulness surrounds you. There in just four or five verses of the scripture, you see him mention his faithfulness four different times. God is trying to get us to understand that regardless of what the devil tries to paint or tries to whisper in your ear, God is a faithful God. God will not let you go. You are not just holding on to God. God is holding on to you. Hallelujah. I said God is holding on to you. Turn to your neighbor and say, God is holding on to you. In the Amplified Version, it says, your faithfulness surrounds you or is an essential part of who you are. God can't be anything other than faithful because it's an essential part of his nature. Are you with me this morning? The word faithful or faithfulness means to be loyal, worthy of trust, reliable, true to your word. If you're describing a faithful person, you're going to say, this is someone who is consistently supportive. He supports people, principle, or belief. A faithful person who is someone who consistently supports people, principles, or beliefs. God is a faithful person. Amen? I want to tell you, one of the greatest unchanging truths about the Lord that has helped me through the years is this particular characteristic. Even in heaven, in the book of Revelation, is one of the names that God is known by. Turn in your Bible to Revelation 19, verse 11, in the Amplified Version. John, the revelator, sees this in heaven. After that, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse appeared, and the one who was riding on it is called Faithful and True. Even heaven describes him as the faithful God. I hope you're starting to see a pattern here this morning. Somebody say amen. Amen. In all the seasons of your life, you can count on God's faithfulness. Mountain peaks, valleys, good times, hard times. Brother Angel mentioned it before. Rapidly changing times. A few weeks ago, we came close to the brink of war in the Middle East with Iran. Financial good times and financial unstable times. In the midst of world conflicts, whether we're up or down, whether people like you, don't like you, whether you had a good hair day or you didn't have a good hair day. Come on now, somebody say amen. Amen. I happen to be having a fairly good hair day today. Amen. As soon as I can cover all this gray, I'll feel better. Amidst the concerns that sometimes want to crush you, paralyze you. The reason I feel this so emotionally this morning is because I know people who where the devil has just tried to crush them with anxiety, fear, where it seems like darkness is just crushing you, coming in around you. I want to tell you what the Word of God says. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Trust in Him with your heart. Notice it says, it doesn't just say trust Him with your mind, but trust Him with your heart. You know that commercial that says, you know, take care of your heart, you know, because it's one of the most vital organs in your body. God wants us to recognize that He's got our hearts. Have you ever been heartbroken? I don't know who you are today, but I can tell you, I just feel this so deeply. Somebody is struggling with saying, I feel heartbroken. I've been betrayed. I've been let down. Even in my own family, I can't seem to get a breakthrough. But I'm here to tell you this morning, God is saying, don't give up. Hallelujah. God is saying, I see your heart. God is saying, I've got you by the hand. I will hold you by the hand. I will send my angel before you to guide you, to take you to the place where you are to go. God said in Psalm 32, verse 8, I will watch over you and I will guide you with my eye upon you. He will not let you go. I want to remind you this morning that faithfulness is at the very heart of who God is. In Isaiah, the people had thought they were forsaken by the Lord because the people of God in those days had fallen away. His own Jewish people fell away from God. And Isaiah was prophesying in those hard times when enemy nations would come and attack Israel and decimate them and steal their crops and bring them to a point of poverty. Israel began to doubt whether God cared about them or God even could be trusted to bring something new or change the situation in their lives. And so Isaiah says in chapter 49, verse 14, the people of Jerusalem say, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. I was talking to a mother a few weeks ago. I said, where is God? Where is God? And here's what God says. Never. Everybody say it with me. Never.
Never.
Never. The next verse says it right there. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Even if that were possible, I would not forget you. Here's the analogy God is drawing. You say, can you imagine a mother not caring for a little baby that she has born? She holds that baby close to her heart. She nourishes that baby, cares for it. And God is saying, if it was even possible for a mother to forget her own child, I want to tell you that my love for you is stronger than that. Are you hearing me this morning? God is saying, my care for you, my concern for you, my love for you is greater than a mother who's holding her nursing child. Wow. Wow. I don't know if this version says it, but the version that I read says never. I love the word. I'm going to go back and read it again. The people of Jerusalem say, the Lord has deserted us. The Lord has forgotten us. Never. I think it's the Amplified. I'm not sure which version it is. Amen. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Can she feel no love for the child she has born? But even if that were possible, I would never forget you. See, I have written, engraved your name in the palm of my hands. Somebody said that God's tattooed our names on his. I don't know if that's what it is, a tattoo or not. Don't get me started on that. But that's how much God cares for you. God has a great track record. Turn to your neighbor and say, God has a great track record. He's got hundreds and thousands of years of being faithful to the people who wrote this book, to Isaiah the prophet and Jeremiah and Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the King Nebuchadnezzar threw them into the fiery furnace. You know the story. They said, oh, King Nebuchadnezzar, the God that we serve is able to deliver us from the fiery furnace. But even if he does not, we will still not bow down to your gods or any other idol. Hallelujah. That's how much they were convinced. Abraham believed against all odds that he was going to have a son. And then when he had a son, the Lord asked him, could you offer the son back to me? That must have been a horrible trial for Abraham to go through. But later on, after he offered Isaac and God provided the ram, which was a substitute symbolic of God providing Christ as a sacrifice in our place. Are you with me, church? In the book of Romans, it says Abraham believed against all hope that God, and even believed that God could raise Isaac from the dead. God, you gave me this child. You can raise him from the dead. God has a great track record. Deuteronomy 7:9. Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is the faithful God. Say it with me. He is the faithful God. Keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments. I want you to take a break right now. I want you all to stand to your feet and praise God for his faithfulness. Just take a moment right now. Let's all stand to our feet. Say, thank you for your great faithfulness, Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Just take a moment of praise right now. Praise your holy name, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. That praise is deserving and honor is deserving to you, Lord, because of who you are, God. Thank you, Father, for your greatness, for your mercy, Lord, for your love, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Hallelujah. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Great, say it with me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord. Great is thy faithfulness, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are greater than any problem I have, Lord. Hallelujah. You're greater than my past. Hallelujah. You're greater than those terrible things that happened to me, Lord. You are greater. Your love for me is greater, Lord. Amen. You may be seated. I want to share with you a beautiful story, a true story of a missionary couple by the name of David and Siva Flood. David and Siva Flood from Sweden. This is a young couple that in 1921, along with another couple, the Ericssons, went to a place in Africa from Sweden. They went to a place called the Belgian Congo. Now it's called Zaire. How many of you know what I'm talking about? The four of them sought for God's direction. They prayed, and they felt the Lord telling them to go out from the main mission station, which was safe and secure, out into the bush, out into the smaller villages where there was very little roads, water, utilities, very little civilization. They went to a little village in Zaire called Ndolora. At the village of Ndolora, they were rejected by the chief of the village, who would not let them enter his village because he was afraid that their gods might upset their local gods. So he refused to allow these four missionaries to come into his town at all. So they decided to, outside of the town, it was a hillside, they decided to build a little hut for themselves and pray and intercede, pray that the chief's heart would change, that he would allow them to go into the village. And they prayed and prayed for a spiritual breakthrough, but it seemed like nothing was happening. The only thing that they allowed, the villagers allowed, was a young boy to come once a day, or twice a week, I believe it was, and bring eggs and sometimes chickens so that they would have food, and they would buy this food from the villagers. And that's the only thing. That's the only contact they had, was with this little boy who would bring chickens and eggs to help them with their food, and they would buy it from him. This woman, Siva Flood, her name was a tiny little lady, only 4'8" tall. She decided, well, God, here we are, and if this is the only person that we can reach, this little boy who keeps coming to bring eggs to our door, we'll pray for him. And that's what they did. They prayed for this little boy, and eventually he gave his heart to Jesus Christ and became a Christian. But that was it. Then things got worse. The families were struck with malaria, one after another. They had one bout of malaria after another. Eventually, one of the couples, the Ericssons, decided to return to the safety of the Central Mission Station. But the other couple, David and Siva Flood, decided to stay near the village of Ndolora and continue their efforts to reach the village, even though the chief would not let them in. Well, if you didn't think that was bad enough, things got even worse. Everybody say, things got worse. David's wife became pregnant in the middle of nowhere, in a primitive wilderness, no hospitals, no doctors, anything whatsoever. When the time came for her to give birth, the village chief's heart softened a little bit and allowed a midwife to come from the village to their little hut on the hillside to help her deliver the baby. The baby's name was Aina in Swedish. However, the mother, Siva Flood, was so weakened from the malaria that she had had and from giving birth that 17 days later she died. 27-year-old woman died there in Zaire. Her husband, David Flood, up to this point was trying to be brave, trying his best to hold on. But something snapped inside of him when his baby died. He dug a grave and when his wife died, he dug a grave and put his wife in the grave, and he went back to the Ericssons, to the mission station. He says, I'm returning to Sweden. He gave up the new baby that was born. The little baby, Aina, was given to the Ericssons. The only problem was eventually the Ericssons got sick. And they both died. And so the baby was given to an American couple, missionary couple in America, who eventually settled in South Dakota. So this little baby that was born in Zaire was the only survivor at that time, except for her father, who became bitter and went back to Sweden and began to deny God and deny his faith. He said things like, "I've lost my wife. I can't even take care of this baby. God has ruined my life." And so he gave the child to the Ericsons, not only rejecting his calling, but rejecting God himself. Eventually, he became an alcoholic and lived his entire life for the next 50 years in bitterness. Little Aggie, meanwhile, her name was Aina, but they sort of Americanized her name and called her Aggie instead of Aina. She grew up in South Dakota with this new couple, Dewey and I forgot the woman's name, but anyway, the Hurst family, Dewey Hurst and his dear wife. One day, a Swedish magazine appeared at her door, and she had no idea who sent it. She was now a young lady, and she asked somebody to interpret the magazine for her. In the magazine, there was something very curious. This was now about 50 years later. And she was a young lady. She was married. She was married to Mr. Hurst at this time. And in that magazine, that Swedish magazine, was a picture of a mission station in Zaire. And there was a grave in the magazine with the cross that said Svea Flood, her mother's name. It had her mother's name on it. And, of course, she knew who she was, an orphan, and she realized that that was her mother. And so she finally got the magazine interpreted, and she understood that that's where her mother was buried. 5 years later, this couple, Svea and Dewey Hurst, went to Sweden for an evangelistic conference. And there she wanted to find her father. She spent a lot of time researching where he might be, and eventually she found a 73-year-old man who was her biological father in a dirty bed with liquor bottles all around him, a bitter man. And as soon as she walked in the door, he began to weep when he saw his daughter that he hadn't seen in over 50 years. He said, "I'm so sorry. I should have never given you away." But she said to him, "Papa, I've got a story I want to tell you. You didn't go to Africa in vain. And Mama didn't die in vain. The little boy that you and Mama won to the Lord, that little boy who was bringing the eggs that I told you about, he grew up to be a strong Christian. And eventually he won his entire village of 600 people to Christ." Somebody give God some praise in the house. It gets better. It gets better. 5 years later, Dewey and Aggie Hurst, this couple, now fully grown, attended a Christian conference in England with 10,000 other delegates. One of the speakers was a man from Zaire by the name of, and I can't pronounce his name, but I think it's Rugita Ndagori. He was now the superintendent of the Pentecostal churches of Zaire. He was from the region where Aina's parents, or Aggie's parents, had been missionaries over 50 years ago. So you can imagine she was very curious to meet this man. After this conference, she went up to the speaker from Zaire, this man, Rugita Ndagori, and she discovered that he had actually grown up in the same village. She asked him if he ever heard of the missionaries, David and Svea Flood. He said, "Have I ever heard of them?" He said, "I met them every day. I was the little boy that brought them the eggs." He was now the superintendent of all the churches in Zaire. She could hardly believe her eyes. He said, I know the parents left. They had a little baby named Aina. I always wondered what happened to the little baby. She says, "I'm the baby. I'm that girl." He said to her, "You have no idea what has happened. Your parents' life and their blood that was spilled. He says there are now thousands and thousands of Christians. In Zaire, there are 32 mission stations, several Bible schools, and 120-bed hospital, all because of your parents' effort. One little boy that was saved. Somebody get God a praise for his faithfulness. Wow. What a story. I hope you didn't miss any part of it, because I have it all here. It's a long story. But it says something. David and Svea Flood, this Swedish missionary couple, only reached one little boy selling eggs. But that boy grew up to reach a whole nation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God is a faithful God. I want to leave you with these three truths about God's faithfulness. God is faithful to his character. God is always good. He's good and he will always be good. He is holy and he will always be holy. He is powerful and he will always be powerful. He's merciful and he will always. Aren't you glad God is not fickle? He doesn't wake up in a bad mood. Have you ever waken up in the wrong side of the bed? You know what I'm talking about? God is faithful to his character. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, even if we are unfaithful, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. Wow. No matter what your background, no matter what your failures, no matter what you've done, God loves you. God loves you, and he wants to have a relationship with you. You can depend on his character. Number two, you can depend on his word. Somebody say, I can depend on his word. Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. As the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so is that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater. So is my word that goes from my mouth. It will not return unto me empty or void, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. I'm sure we can find out this morning very quickly how many of you have ever been through a confused, discouraged time in need of guidance, peace, or hope, and you've turned to the book. How many of you can raise a hand and say, I've turned to the Bible at times where I was discouraged, I needed guidance, I didn't know what the answer was. I didn't know where to go for help, but I opened the book, and the words that were in this book changed my life. Hallelujah. The words of comfort, the words of wisdom, the words of peace that God gave me. God is faithful to his word. His word is powerful. His word is true. His word is full of life. The prophet Jeremiah says, God says, I am watching over my word to perform it. God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? The problem is that sometimes we expect things to happen in our time, in our way, and then actually God is working out something even greater than we can imagine. Because he does exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine. Today I want to encourage you to fill your heart with God's word. If you haven't been soaking the Bible lately, this is a message for you. Begin to soak in the word of God, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Build your life around the word of God. Count on the promises. We used to sing a song, standing on the promises of Christ my Savior. Standing on the promises of God. Hallelujah. God is faithful to his word. And finally, the last one, God is faithful to his love for his people. Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The faithful love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. Amen, Gloria? Amen. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies are new every morning. Hallelujah. I love this passage in the Bible where God shares how he feels about Israel's bondage in Egypt. Some of you have read this passage, but I want to share it again. I'm just going to quote it. It's in Exodus chapter 3, where God appears to Moses. And he's telling Moses, who has run away from Egypt and then forsaken his people and had to run away as a fugitive from justice. God appears to him and he says these beautiful words, I have seen the misery of my people in Egypt. Everybody say, seen. Then he says, I had heard them crying out. Everybody say, heard. Because of their slave drivers. Then he says, I am concerned about their suffering. Somebody say, concerned. And then this is the one I love the most. I have now come down to rescue them. Hallelujah. So God has seen, he has heard, he is concerned, and he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. God is a deliverer, and he always will be a deliverer. Hallelujah. Give him some praise. God promised them that they would make it to the promised land. But they had to believe the promise. Who didn't go into the promised land? All the ones who doubted. Who didn't go into the promised land? The ones who doubted. The ones who were faithless. They were not faithful. But Caleb and Joshua and a whole generation of young people believed, we are well able to go in and possess the land. Hallelujah. Somebody stood up and said, God's not finished with us now. Hallelujah. God's not finished yet. Hallelujah. Someone has some guts to stand up in the midst while everyone is going crazy, while everybody is afraid, while everybody is panicking. Somebody had the guts to stand up and say, I believe God. Hallelujah. I believe God. It's not going to end this way. There's going to be a different ending. David and Zvia flood had no idea. This man who has spent 50 years as a bitter man, an alcoholic, thinking my life was a complete waste, had no idea that the entire nation of Zaire was transformed because of that sacrifice when he had to bury his wife. Didn't understand that that little daughter of his would grow up to marry a man, D.V. Hurst, who happened to be the president of a Bible college. And that that little boy who sold them eggs would be the man that God would use, hallelujah, to change a nation. Don't tell me that God doesn't know what he's doing. Hallelujah. I want to close with this. Joshua 21, verses 43 and 44. So the Lord God gave to Israel all the land which he had sworn to give their fathers. And they took possession of it and dwelt in it. And the Lord gave them rest all around according to all that he had sworn to their fathers. God keeps his word. God keeps his word. Hallelujah. Even when we are faithless, he remains faithful because he cannot deny who he is. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's stand together, shall we? Hallelujah. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you for your great faithfulness, Lord.